The reading this morning is in two sections, both of them from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, starting with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. That's the first section, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the second section is in the following chapter, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service or as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bond servant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. This is God's word.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as children, and we ask that you would instruct us. Would you discipline us and teach us your ways, and help us by your Spirit to live lives that are ordered under the Lord Jesus, with him at the head, for his great glory. Amen. In the foyer at our kids' school, the first thing that you see when you walk in is a trophy cabinet, a display cabinet. And it has all sorts of weird and wonderful trophies in it. I think one of them is for the obscure sport of ball über die Linie. Ball over the line. It's imaginatively titled. And this cabinet quietly proclaims to everyone as they walk in how great this school is, in weird and wonderful ways, in as obscure ways as it might be. If you're a Christian this morning, I want us to imagine our lives are a bit like a display cabinet. Not showing our record of achievement, not showing off how good we are, not showing how great LEC might be, but showing the world and showing the universe Jesus Christ, how great he is. As we've been looking at this letter to the church around Ephesus over the last few months, we've seen time and again that Jesus is the centre of God's plan, his eternal plan, to unite all things in heaven and earth under Jesus, so that eternity will be filled with his praises. So chapters 1 to 3, we've seen the riches of God's grace and his mercy poured out onto his people. In bringing his people together, when we were dead in sins, Jesus paid the price, he paid the penalty for our sins, he ransomed us and made us alive. Out of his abundant love, God, our Father, draws us in together, unites us together as one family, adopted as his children, brought to be a new humanity, to be with him forever, united to Jesus forever, with Jesus forever, so that he might get the praise forever and ever. And then in chapters 4 to 6, we see how the rubber hits the road, what that means for us, how it should change us and impact our lives today. We've seen that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. Christians don't just talk the talk. We don't just talk a good game, but we live as though this really matters. We live because it does matter. We live because we have been given new life. There is a new reality for us. As Colin just read, we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We order every area of our lives under Jesus, with Jesus at the head. That our lives would be like that display cabinet, showing off Jesus at the centre of life and eternity. And this morning, we're thinking specifically about how that changes things at home and at work. So parents and children, and slaves and masters, employers and bosses. First of all, Christ is Lord at home, verses 1 to 4. Have a look down at Ephesians 6, even verse 1. We're on page 1178. If you have a Bible, do open it up. It'd be a help to me and to you, I hope. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word obey means to hear and to do, to follow an instruction, to be subject to those who are in authority over you. It has a similar sense to the word submit that we saw last time. Although whereas wives are told to voluntarily submit themselves, with children it is different. It simply says obey because parents are in authority over their children. It is something that has been that way from the dawn of creation. God put children in families with parents in authority over them who, under God, are to lovingly raise them. God, parents, children. And we know this, don't we? When we tell our kids it's bedtime, they go to bed, don't they? Don't you? When we say, stop hitting your brother or your sister, like that, they stop. And it's magic. Note that it says obey your parents. So this isn't just mum, and this isn't just dad. Wherever possible, both mum and dad are to be involved in raising children. It means mum and dad need to be in agreement in the way that they raise their children. They need to be pulling in the same direction. It means don't undermine each other. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. I asked our kids what they find hard this week about obeying me and Gabby. We got a few answers back. First one was, it's boring. They had just been asked to clean bathrooms, so I don't blame them. Another said, I don't want to. And we ended up having a bit of a chat about authority and power. We all want to be in charge, don't we? We all want to do what I want to do. In its essence, that is what sin is. It is saying to God, I'm in charge and not ye. And it's saying, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. It says, obey in the Lord, for this is right. Children are to obey their parents to reflect the truth that God is Lord, that Jesus is Lord at home. When I was growing up, I didn't realise quite the full extent of this, funnily enough. but obeying children obeying parents is part of being and living a spirit-filled life. That's why I had Colin read those verses for us. If you want to be, or if you are a person that is filled with the Spirit, if you are an adopted child of God, there are all sorts of ways being filled with the Spirit might look like, but here we have a definitive list or some clear examples. It looks like children obeying your parents. It looks like ordering your life under those whom God has put in authority over you. I won't say much on that, on this at the moment, but this is in part, so children must obey parents in the Lord. In part, I think this is why, personally, I think we should baptise children. We have a variety of views here at LEC on this, both amongst church family, but also amongst pastors. We're free to disagree on this. What unites us together is the gospel of repentance, of sins, and love for Jesus, forgiveness, unity with Jesus. But we know that children have their own personal relationship with the Lord. They're held responsible before the Lord for what the way in which they live their life. But here, they seem to be addressed within the local church as members of the local church with a command to obey in the Lord. I think it's safe to say a non-Christian can't be asked to do that in the same way. I'll leave it there, but come and speak to me afterwards if you want to talk about that. I guess for most of us, with the exception of you guys in the balcony, our parents probably aren't as involved in our lives as they once were. But I don't think there is an age limit that is placed on this. That is why he goes on to say, honour your father and mother. That is something that there is a principle here that carries on throughout our lives. We obey when we're young, but it changes as we get older. As adults, we continue to honour our father and mother. Really important to be clear that this is not obedience at any cost. Again, it's obey in the Lord. Jesus is always and only our true master, our ultimate Lord. And so if a human parent asks you to do something that Jesus says don't, or that is clearly against what he says, then we have a duty to follow the Lord. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, and we act out of reverence for Christ. If obeying parents is about honouring Jesus, then you can't be obeying him. You can't be obeying them even when they tell you to do something that dishonours Jesus. We honour mum and dad, but our primary allegiance is to him. He's our model. He perfectly obeyed at a great cost to himself. If you have, sadly, some of us have had a very difficult relationship with parents, abusive relationships. Know that he knows what it is like to suffer and to face abuse. And because he is Lord, he will one day expose every evil and he will right every wrong. But this is the principle. Children, obey your parents. Verse 2, there's a command, there's a promise that is attached to it. It's the principle that's attached to it. So it's a quote from the Ten Commandments. It's honour your father and mother that it may go well with you in the land. But he edits it and he generalizes it. He expands it. And the principle is, obey your parents and life will go better for you. You will spend less time on the naughty step. You will find yourself grounded less often. You're less likely to fail in school, I guess, if you're told to do your homework at home and you do your homework. You're less likely to make foolish decisions that might lead to serious consequences later in life. More likely to succeed and to live a healthy life. So it looks different depending on your age, but guys in the balcony, I guess this means when mum and dad say go to bed, go to bed. Or when they say tidy your room, or apologise to your brother or sister, do what they say. They're not trying to be unkind in that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. God says this is a right thing to do, part of serving Jesus. And it shows to the heavenly realms, to those rulers and powers in eternity, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a pretty mind-blowing thing, to think the way that you act at home, in private, stacking the dishwasher, that shows to eternity Jesus Christ is Lord. Because he is Lord. He is Lord everywhere. He is Lord at home. Children, obey your parents. But don't worry, you're not the only ones who are addressed. Fathers, it is our turn too. Verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, instruct your children in the Lord. Dad is the one who is addressed here, because under God, he is the one with primary responsibility. We saw that last time. But it does include mums too. Now, the command just now was to honour father and mother. It was to obey parents. And so I think this applies to mums too. Dads, that means we shouldn't leave it to mum to discipline and to instruct and to raise our kids. Do not provoke them to anger. We've seen before, we as new creations, we take off the old, we put on the new, we get rid of anger, and we don't encourage our kids in it either. And so if your disciplining leads your kids to anger and resentment, then maybe we need a different tact. I guess it means be fair with your kids. It rules out physical violence. Not only is it illegal in this country, but when it is done in anger, in a violent and unjust way, it leads to anger. It rules out intimidation or bullying or using your kids in any way. It rules out excessive rules. What do we do instead where we apply discipline and instruction of the Lord? The word discipline means to bring up, to train, to educate. We send our kids to school, we educate them, we bring them home, and we discipline them. Instruct literally means to set in the mind, to place in your mind. What do you set in their minds? It is the Lord. Teach them about Jesus. I've been reading this book recently, Raising Confident Kids in a Confusing World. It's by Ed Drew. We use some of the Faith in Kids stuff that he is involved in writing in our Sunday school sometimes. And he says how we should be raising our kids to, with that second Sunday that they leave home, in mind. They might go to church. When they move out, you might help them move. You might find a church with them to go to. They might go to church on the first Sunday they leave, but what about the second Sunday? Will they go back? The goal is for them to help them make wise decisions on their own. Raising children wisely, we do all that we can to make sure that they would choose to follow Jesus as they grow up. Obviously, that's humanly speaking. We need the Spirit's work. It's going to look different from family to family and child to child. We're not given a list of do's and don'ts. It's in some ways terrifyingly brief, isn't it? I guess that means there's freedom for us to apply this. You know your kids. You know your family situation. You know how they struggle and where they excel. But I guess part of this does involve not quoting verse 1 back at them all the time. It means disciplining them without crushing the spirit. It means not worrying so much about what grades they get. It means spending more time opening the Bible with them, praying with them, talking to them, bringing them to church, getting them along to camp. Our kids are still pretty young, relatively young. I've still got a lot to learn. But I do think one of the challenges we face and one of the weaknesses we have in the West is the way we raise our kids, trying to avoid any cost to following Jesus. The older they get, the more that they realize that what we say in church is actually very different to what they hear in the rest of the world, to what their friends say. We need to be preparing them to be ready for that. We need our kids to be ready for the time when they are asked at school, is there a God? Or when they're not invited to the party because they're a Christian, because they follow Jesus. It means showing them what it looks like to trust Jesus. And they will be watching you. They'll be learning from what you do. So show them what it looks like to trust him when sad times come. Pray with them. Open the Bible with them as a family. Get them along to church. Because we are brought together with different gifts to make each other grow. And so if you're here this morning and you're thinking at the moment, this has nothing to do with me, I'm single, I'm in my 40s, I'm not going to have any kids. Involve yourself in families' lives. The whole body needs the whole body to do this. We've had single friends here at LEC take the day off work to come and look after our kids. Or we've had friends take one of our children off to go climbing with them, to get to know them. You have more of an impact on those lives than you probably realize. Another thing to do is pray for them. Pray for families, pray for the kids here. God puts children in families and families in children, that together we grow into maturity so that we live the gospel out together and proclaim to the universe that Jesus is Lord. We're sometimes so focused on family life, though, fathers, mothers, that we don't serve and we never teach our children or show our children what it is to take up our cross and follow him. When I was growing up, we had a few rules at home. Don't go into dad's study in the morning. He was praying before he would get the early morning train to London. And that was his time with the Lord. He didn't go in. Wednesday nights, mum and dad had Bible study at their house at home. And so that meant that I had to go to bed early. That meant I had to try and be quiet. Meant I couldn't have people over on a Wednesday. Of course, sometimes I couldn't sleep and I'd go in and they'd respond with kindness and gentleness when I interrupted them, most of the time. We went to church on a Sunday. It meant that we didn't do sports. I was never allowed to do sports on a Sunday because they wanted me to know that Jesus was the most important thing. And I was annoyed at times. I was cross with them at times. But it meant that I grew up with a model that Jesus Christ is Lord at home, and that affects everything. Take the time to teach your kids the privilege or sharing in those costs? And if you want to know what a real, true, wonderful Father looks like, and then think again and again about how our Heavenly Father treats us, who is so rich in grace, who is so rich in mercy, who is so rich in love, who pours his grace on us, a grace that is so deep and so wide that we will never get to the bottom of it. Teach ourselves, teach our children, that there is nothing they cannot do that can't be forgiven by Jesus. It's much easier to do it when they're young, and you find them having gone into the kitchen, grubby fingers, chocolate all over the worktop, and they've climbed up on the tumble dryer and reached into the cupboard, the chocolate cupboard. Much easier to do it when it's something like that. But we need to teach them that they can be forgiven when they get older too. When drugs come along, or when they sneak a boyfriend or a girlfriend into their room for the night, or when they make serious choices that can hurt you and damage their lives. Jesus Christ is Lord at home. And if you have older children who don't look like they are showing signs of faith, remember again and again that today isn't the end of the story. Fathers, teach your children about Jesus because he is Lord at home. Secondly, verses 5 to 9, Christ is Lord at work. Verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. As Colin read it, you'll have heard his version used the word bondservant. The word can be translated either way. It's the same word in verse 5, same word in verse 6, same word in verse 8. Paul is speaking to slaves and to masters here, whether that is a bond slave or a real slave. But he is not endorsing slavery. He is not discussing the merits of one financial system over another, or politics, or anything like that, the value of a human individual. We need to look elsewhere to explore some more of his views on slavery. In Philemon, a short letter, which I think is quite helpful for us, Paul writes to a slave master, a guy called Philemon, about his runaway slave called Onesimus. If you can remember that, well done. Paul's plea to Philemon, though, is much bigger than setting Onesimus free. He says instead, treat him as though he were your brother. It is something that is far more radical than the abolition of slavery, far more equal than human rights says. Treat him as a brother. And so lay down your life for him that he might see Jesus. Slavery is wrong. It is abuse of another person made in God's image. God defends the cause of the weak and the vulnerable. He is the God who rescues his people out of slavery. And he will judge every injustice because he is Lord. Lots more to say on that. We won't say any more now. Paul is addressing slaves and masters here, but because he is writing to ordinary Christians in ordinary churches, and that was just the way the world was back then. And he's calling them to walk and to live with Jesus Christ as their Lord, to display the gospel in the situations that they are in. And whilst our situation with modern employment law is pretty different, thank you, Lord, very different. The principles apply to the workplace with employees and bosses. Have a look down at the end of verse 8. Paul says, obey your earthly masters, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So I think it's safe to say that this is a specific situation he's speaking about, but the principles again apply to us in 21st century Germany, even when we're not slaves. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, as you would Christ. So slave or employee, however you want to think of it, are called to work under Christ. You see that? It's there, verse 6, they're to be servants of Christ. It's there, verse 7, serving the Lord. Because, verse 8, the Lord is judge, and he will reward according to the way we work. Most of us, at some, well, once a year in your professional career, will have an annual review, a performance review. Paul says, be less concerned about that review and more concerned about the performance review that comes at the end of eternity, or the end of your life, even. Whether you are a teacher or an engineer, a student or a first century slave, work with that review in mind. Those words fear and trembling aren't about quaking before a brutal master, but about worship. Those are the words that we approach the Lord with. This is about serving Jesus. Because God is far less concerned about the actual job that you do, unless it is sinful, and far more concerned about how you do it. It's easy sometimes, isn't it, when you've got a hand in a piece of work to give it to your boss or to your teacher and quietly fume and hate them. They've been unfair, they've made you stay late, they've given you maybe a project to do that is beneath you, that a junior should have done, and they've maybe done it to out of spite. Easy to fume and to hate, but it should be different amongst us. And we do it with a sincere heart, verse 5. We seek to serve Christ. Or verse 6, we don't seek to please people, but servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I think it shapes the way that we start the day on our way into work. I was speaking with someone recently who was telling me how their shift at work always goes better when they pray as they walk into the office or into the building, and how it is better when they've read the Bible, taken time to do that first. Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, the way you work is an expression of your love for Jesus, an outworking of a heavenly and eternal reality. Verse 8, we do it knowing that our Master in heaven will reward. A good boss rewards employees, hopefully. Pay rises, promotions, good grades at school. But even if your earthly master doesn't see or doesn't care or is even cruel, your heavenly master isn't. And he will repay. He does see, he does care, he will reward. Slaves, obey as you would Christ. At the very least, this means we need to honour our bosses at work, those of us who do work. Very easy to talk about them behind their backs, especially when they make a foolish mistake. But don't criticise or talk about them, or your teacher, behind their backs. In my old job, before I became a pastor, we had a couple of office moves, but one of them, I walked into my new office and was shown where my new desk was, and my heart sank because it was literally opposite the front door to the office. Everyone who walked into the office could see my computer screens. My boss was sat the desk just behind me, so he had a straight, clear view onto my screens. And so that meant whatever I was doing at any point in the day, someone would probably see. So it meant that I couldn't have news up on my screen. I, from time to time, I may or may not have had sports streaming quietly down in the right-hand corner as I got on with another task. My boss's eye was on me at all times. But verse 6, we're to do it when his eye isn't on us. Because he's not our master. He's not the one that we're ultimately responsible to. It is the Lord of heaven and earth. And so we're to work hard when they're looking and when they've walked out of the room. And we do it for the Lord because he is Lord at home and at work. Slaves, obey your masters. Masters, know that you have a heavenly master. Look down at verse 9. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Now, that was such a radical statement. Slaves back then were more like objects, but here they're to be treated as people. In fact, to be treated as they would treat Jesus. Sincerely, honestly, fairly, as people made in God's image, as those who are equal before the Lord God Almighty, as those who are created to serve him and not ye. For a while, Gabby, I haven't told her this, I hope it's okay, we'll find out. Gabby worked in a hedge fund, and her boss, I think it's fair to say, was pretty volatile. She manipulated, she made unreasonable demands, she ran her office through fear. If you remember seeing The Devil Wears Prada, her boss was not dissimilar. But her next boss was a Christian. And the difference was like night and day. He was great at being fair. He didn't take sides. He listened objectively. He sought to find out the truth. He didn't show favoritism. Because he knew that he had a master in heaven. And he wanted to serve him. Masters, treat others. If you're a boss, treat others, knowing that you have the same master in heaven. Because you too will answer to God for the way that you treat your employees. Listen to them. Be fair to them. Pay properly. Serve Jesus and not the bottom line, not your profit margin. Because that is the hierarchy. Jesus is at the top. He's at the center for all eternity. And he's put those he has delegated authority to, earthly masters, to parents, and then those who come under, slaves, employees, children. Jesus is Lord at home and at work. And in the way we live at home and at work, we're to show that to the universe. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that the gospel is incredibly practical. Thank you that you literally turn our lives around and upside down, that you raise us from death to life, and that you give us a new way of living. And so, Lord, with all these things, as we keep on thinking these things through the week, would you help us to live with Jesus as Lord at home and at work, so that those around us might see how wonderful he is, but also as you make known to the rulers and the powers in the eternal realms, know who Jesus is and how great he is. And would he get all the glory as we do so? In his name we ask. Amen.